This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Always drop a new product at full price.
Yeah.
So you have your sales stuff, obviously. Every Black Friday, drop a new product at full price because people are still going to buy because they feel like they're getting a deal on everything else. So instead of sending their money somewhere else, just spend the full price with you. That's a hack. Yeah. And then for us, too, I think one thing that really did us well was disguising that BOGO, I mean, that 50% off as BOGO, and then like, oh, free shipping too if you spend this much. Mm-hmm. So it was like deal on top of deal on top of deal. That way you feel like there's no way I can't get this and make it happen.
My graduates from my school being Forbes, bag drop.
All right, guys, welcome back. EYO South.
Yeah.
To the new Dungeon
yeah,
family.
Yeah, shout out to all the.
We have to, like, where are we going to sit?
Yes.
I'll sit underneath.
We spent so much time out here, it only made sense.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right, this is something that, you know, a lot of people have been looking forward to for a long time. So, Corey and Justin from Support Black Colleges met these guys a while ago. Yeah. And, Corey was actually pretty vocal on Instagram to try to get this interview done.
I saw the messages. The funniest message I've seen was like, he would write to Justin, like, damn, Just, it wasn't our turn yet. I'm like, okay.
Just no, like.
I'll let Corey say his side on that, and I'll say.
But I'll say this. The last time we saw each other, I said, Just, we're getting it done.
Yeah.
We're going to get it done.
It always happens in time. But yeah, I always read the comments. So every now and then, it was a little, you know, it's a little slick comment. Like,
oh, yeah.
Huh.
They're talking about merch. His Best Fest is in Atlanta. Damn, bro.
And we made a bag of investments, though.
Oh, yeah. Y'all was there. Y'all was there. Definitely.
Shout out to investments.
Shout out to investments.
Did everyone hear that?
No facts. No cap.
But that was one of the beautiful things. It was like all the merchants said the same thing. Like, yo, it was such a outpouring of support. Like, everybody sold out and everything. Bro, so that's dope.
Everybody. But, you know, it's so funny because I always tell Justin, I be feeling like we get slept on so much. Like, our list of accomplishments is so long, and then it'd be like, oh, they're just a clothing brand. Just a clothing brand. And just be like, yo, y'all, people don't understand. So I'm always vocal. Justin, he'd be like,
cool.
But me, like, I'd be like, man, I won't, because if you don't say nothing, then people may not know.
That's like Kanye.
But I am getting better at knowing how to say things. That's really, it's not about saying something, it's about how you say it, really.
That's the thing. Like, whenever Corey be saying something, I'd just be like, well, we just need to work harder. Like, you know, like,
I think that's what you put in the comment.
That's crazy.
I'm serious. I'm like, but I understand because Corey's like, you know, we did this and that. We under 20s, you know, are we in 20s or whatever? And like, I feel like, you know, they don't, like, people don't respect us or whatever. I'm just like, oh, well, let's just keep working.
Yeah. And what I appreciate most is that y'all always showed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Even though if we didn't do an episode, if we had an event, y'all was there.
Yeah.
If there was something that y'all could be a part of and support, y'all was there.
Oh, of course.
So we were just always in the same rooms. Yeah. It was just a matter of time. So I'm happy that we're here now.
Oh, we appreciate y'all for sure.
It was always love, Corey.
Oh, yeah, nah. I'm going to always show up. Like, I love going to Black people's stuff who are doing great things.
Man. Appreciate
y'all packed out. I forgot what we was on Edgewood. Y'all packed that place out.
Oh, yeah. That was the networking event.
That was
I was in there like, it was a smooth spot.
Slush.
Shout out to Slush.
That's why I was like, are you in Atlanta? I thought I was in Atlanta.
Yeah. Now, Atlanta always showed us love, man. Like a real second home. I love it out here. So much Black excellence out here. Everybody just vibing together. So, but I'm glad we got a chance to get this done. So for people that are not familiar, Support Black College is a multi-million dollar brand that's tearing up the space for the last 5 years or so, right? Yeah. Probably
started 2012, but really took it serious like 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, 3 years.
So yeah, you probably seen their hoodies on like Chris Paul. Actually, Bobby Wagner had the hoodie on when we did the interview with him.
Oh, wow.
I did see that.
Yeah. He did.
He's been rocking with us for a long time.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Yeah. So and it's interesting because it's like one of these things. Like, our thing is assets over liabilities. You see it, it's directly
right.
So it's like you don't have to guess. Support Black colleges. It's not too much more to really think. What's the hidden meaning behind it? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But so it just goes to show you that sometimes keeping it simple can go a lot further than trying to be like really complex and abstract. So this is going to be a dope conversation. We're going to talk about how they was able to build such an impressive empire in a short period of time. And yeah, we're going to give all the game on the merch side, marketing, influencer marketing, all that kind of stuff. So before we start, man, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank y'all
for having us. This is great. This place is fire. Like, I wish everybody could see what this looks like. Black excellence.
Appreciate it. Shout out to my man, Mike. Mike, what up?
All right. So let's get the backstory. Support Black colleges. How did this company come about?
Yeah. So I was at Howard University. I was a sophomore. And literally started with me and my cousin, and we just made a shirt that said "Support Black Colleges."
Just like a T-shirt.
T-shirt, and I think I was trying to find the outfit for like homecoming. I wanted something fire that nobody else had. Mm. So it all started with just one shirt, "Support Black Colleges," and we had did a little things on the side here and there. Like, we used to make these USB bracelets. Remember the bracelets?
Oh yeah.
We made these little USB bracelets. It was like a plastic bracelet, but you connected it and it turned into a bracelet. And it was a Howard University one. Yeah. And so I found a way to get them into the bookstore and we were selling them. And I'm like, yo, people like HBCU stuff. Mm-hmm. I realized that people liked it. So we made a shirt, this logo right here, Support Black Colleges. And we had a different iteration of it as well. And then I wore it and people were just like, yo, need that. So my business mind, I'm like, we got to make some more of these. And at the time, you know, I didn't know nothing about a clothing line, scaling, nothing. I'm just trying to make some quick bread. And so we ended up getting a booth at homecoming, selling all our merch out, made a few $1,000s, and you know, Support by College was literally born just off of wanting to make a T-shirt for HBCUs.
That's ill, because the story starts with y'all started in the partying world, right? Like, y'all were promoting parties
heavy,
and you said we, but like, just you didn't come on right away.
Not at all.
If I'm correct, it was like your thing was like, let me just add value to what he's doing, which is something that people kind of overlook, like just adding value. So like, how did that relationship develop?
Yeah, so back home, I'm from Houston. So back home, my mom, she would do like her 9-to-5, and then she would do real estate, and then at night she would do bottle service. So like, she was like heavily, you know, just hustling. Mm-hmm. And she would always let me come to the parties and stuff. Like, she was in the 21 and up clubs, and I was like, you know, 16, like, you know, whatever. And then she'd be like, you know, come out for your birthday, like, you know, whatever. So then I'd go, and I'm like, man, that's what's up. So then I was like, I need to start throwing parties too. So before I even made it to Howard, I was throwing like teen parties and stuff. So I did that, and I was like, man, if I go to Howard, I'm making bread, because I was making a couple $1,000s a party young. And I was like, well, I know college is going to be a central market that we could just really tap into. So I went up there, and I was like, well, my first mind is like, see who's doing it already and see what's going on. And then I went to a house party during my freshman week, and I just sat outside, and then Corey was at the door. So then he came out, because I was like trying to figure out like, who's working the door?
It was being weird. Like, you know,
and then mind you, like, I'm twisted, my hair twisted up now, but I'm talking like I had a fro, like big fro in college. And then he just came out and was like, yo, you good, bro? Like, you drunk? And I'm like, nah. Like, I'm like, nah, I'm just trying to see like who's working the door, who's throwing the parties, like where people go into the houses and like stuff like that. And then we kind of just became friends, and he invited me to the party to come in. And then after that, we started to like really do the parties together.
That's crazy, because when we say college is a business decision, we're usually thinking like the financial aid. You're looking at it from a totally different perspective. Yeah. Like, there's an audience there. I need to capitalize at that.
Right. Oh, my God.
That's ill.
I used to go to school in Baltimore. I didn't go to HBCU. I was at UMBC. But, you know, Baltimore is a lot of black colleges. Like Morgan, specifically Morgan and
Bowie.
But also, what's the one? Coppin State.
Coppin.
So I had a lot of guys from New York that went to school in Morgan. Yeah. And a few of them, they used to do party promote. They used to throw parties, and they used to make a lot of money. Like, they was especially for college kids. That's like a booming business, because you know, college, especially like I said, like the black college, it's like, you know, you go and party a lot, bro, not just homecoming. It. Like every week, there's a party.
Yeah, like bro, every week it's three or four parties. And the thing is, like, it's arguable that the party promoters are more popular than the basketball team, the Greeks, because we literally providing the fun that all of them come to. Right. So when it's like a probate, they're like, hey, can you throw us a probate party? Like, can you do these things? But one thing Justin said that was really important, he provided value since day one.
Right.
He's always been different. Like, imagine going outside a party, seeing a kid with a big afro. He used to have this rat tail.
Oh, yeah.
And he had, like, a bunch of colorful wristbands. Like, he was very different. Let's just say that. But the first thing when he said about the money thing, I'm like, you a freshman talking like that? I'm like, oh, yeah, you different. Like, and instantly that connected me to him. And I think that relationship of respect, like, from that point, really got us here, honestly.
So y'all met on campus.
Yeah.
On campus. So that's a good story for black colleges as well. Like, you met your business partner on a HBCU. So, all right. But originally, so you started, and you're not an owner originally.
No.
You're just helping out.
Yeah. Like, he was like, yo, Justin, I'm about to do a photo shoot for my brand. You mind pulling up? I was like, I bet. Like, if you scroll all the way to the bottom of Support by Colleges, I'm the first photo. Like, the first photo shoot.
Afro out, too.
Yeah. And then I had an interest in, like, Twitter and, like, growing, like, digital marketing and stuff. So I made them a Twitter, you know, got it a couple hundred followers and just gave it to him. Like, just, I wanted to help. And then that was really I just wanted to be a good friend. Like, that's all I was doing.
Like, you created the social platforms for them.
Yeah. Like,
just out of love.
Yeah. Like, it was.
So what point do you become business partners?
That was 3 years ago. Like,
how did that happen?
Yeah. So I was in Houston. So after graduating college, I got a job, and then like 6 months, 8 months in, I was like, this is impossible. Like, it's no way. I'm a terrible employee.
What was you doing?
Digital marketing for like a weight scale company, like randomly. So
That's random. Okay.
So I'm doing that. And then Corey is calling me like, yeah, I think I'm about to pick Support by Colleges back up. Cause remember, he's like, you know, on and off with it after school or whatever. Like, he was working his own job, et cetera. So I quit my job, and then I started to get into, like, the whole other side, like, just doing things I wasn't supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just like, so I'm making money, though, you know what I'm saying? Like, the wrong way. But Corey's like, yo, bro, like, you need to come down here. I'm in Atlanta. Like, it's live, this and that. I'm like, bro, I'm getting money. I'm straight. Like, it's cool. And then one day, it was just, it dawned on me. It was like, all right, I'm either going to go, like, the right way and, like, not know what's going to go on and hopefully be successful, or continue going the wrong way and either, like, be dead, jail, like, whatever. And I was like, all right, let me just go try. Like, it's my boy. You know, it is what it is. So then I moved down to Atlanta, and then that's when we started taking it seriously.
So you had just graduated college?
Yeah.
And you decided to leave D.C. Yeah. And you chose Atlanta. Because I know you was going back between D.C. and New York.
Yeah. I was thinking whether I was going to stay or not. But my roommates at the time was all leaving. So I'm like, am I just going to stay in D.C.? It's kind of expensive. And then I had an apartment in New York because I was working for a startup under Sean Parker, who created, one of the guys who created Facebook and Napster.
You might know him.
Yeah, so I was working, like, directly under him doing marketing, social media marketing, and college, like, college engagement, essentially, because they knew I was a promoter. So they was like, oh, you can get the colleges. And so I moved to Atlanta randomly. I've been one time before that. I just knew I wanted to come here. I'm the type of person, I just go. Like, I don't think about it. I just make moves. And so went to Atlanta. I had a two-bedroom apartment. I had to build a package to get Justin here. Like, that time was like 5, 7, 8 months of me saying, Justin, come to Atlanta, come to Atlanta. I got an apartment here. I got this. Hey, I'm making money. Like, I was really trying to get him because I knew the value that he brought me in college. And I'm like, this is the person I want to work with. Because for us, it's never really about the money. It was all about the relationships, the controlling the environment, like putting on these dope events. And so I knew that if he did the same thing he did with the parties with support by college, I knew it could be unstoppable. And I finally got him out there.
So, all right. So, how does it? All right. So, 3 years ago, you moved to Atlanta. Yeah. You guys decided to be business partners.
Yeah.
So, what's the next steps to actually get this off the ground and up and running? Like, what's the evolution?
Well, it's interesting because, like, when I moved down here, we didn't immediately become business partners because, like, I don't know. It just didn't feel right to me to, like, just come down and be like, oh, what's up? Like, I'm trying to go 50-50. Like, what we doing? Like, so I just kind of moved down. And then, like, bro, Corey will tell you. So, in college, like, I was, like, drinking every weekend, like, partying hard, like, all of this stuff. But when I moved down, I knew I had to make a change. Like, and that's when I really started, like, reading and meditating and stuff like that. So the first, like, 30, 90 days, I literally was in my room and didn't talk much to Corey at all. But I was just trying to, like, make some money on my own. So I built up an income of, like, managing people's social media to, like, $5,000 a month or something like that within, like, 30 days. And then Corey ran a Shade Room post for Support by Colleges. And then it, like, did, I don't know, maybe, like, 20K, 30K, yeah, something like that. And then he was like, bro, there's no way I can do this on my own. Like, if you want to be a part of it, bro, come on. I got $20,000 in inventory. Throw up some bread and let's do it. And then that's when I was like, I bet. And I just did it from there. So that's how I kind of got in.
Yeah, so you had the $20,000 in inventory. So what's the offer to him now? Like, I want you to be my partner.
Yeah, 50-50. I'm like, look, I got $20,000 in inventory. I have zero help. If you give me $10,000, you can be 50-50 on this. Well, we didn't know it was going to be support by colleges. Yeah. Just, you know, I didn't think it was fair to give him, like, a smaller percentage because I knew I was going to make him go to work. So I was like, 50%, all in, let's do it. And, you know, little did I know that his last $10,000 that he gave me was all he had. He literally had 2 pennies left in his bank account when he gave me that $10,000. And dang, I had no clue that that was the case because he wasn't talking to me. Like, understand? Like, I thought, I'm like, yo, what were you doing in Houston? Like, he was such a different person. Like, even, I'm just getting to know this Justin. But the old Justin, we used to turn up. Like, we used to be lit. And this Justin, he'd be like, nah, I'm meditating. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? So, yeah, he gave his last $10,000.
It's like when Martin went to the sabbatical. He had to have
definitely that.
I got you.
So, all right, so let's get into this. So,
you do it all without breaking a sweat, like being a boss exec to Tuesday tennis to homework. Why do kids have so much homework? Family dinners, lunches, brunches, trips to the vet, and a weekend getaway that's anything but a getaway. And you do it all in style. Even when you have back-to-back conference calls on top of the kids' orchestra recitals, not to mention your side hustle. That's why they created the fully reimagined Infiniti QX60, a luxury SUV as functional as it is stylish and as versatile as it is serene, with premium features like a panoramic moonroof, ample cargo space, and available massaging front seats. to bring the ease of luxury to your everyday. Introducing the all-new Infiniti QX60, designed to help you take on life and all the chaos that may come with it in style. Learn more at InfinityUSA.com. Now, with extremely limited availability, contact your local retailer for inventory information.
You support black colleges, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that comes to my mind is, we talked about it off air, but you have one, your signature, that's the signature, right? Yeah. But now you have other stuff for like individual colleges.
Right, right.
So, but for individual colleges, you need a trademark, right?
You got to get licensing.
How did that work?
That process is trash, bro.
It's very bad.
There's only a few companies that pretty much own the licensing for most schools, either like CLC or Learfield or like one of the others. I don't remember their names. But essentially, you have to apply, which you can just do with like spending money. But different colleges have different rates. So Howard is like $400 just to apply. And maybe like a cop, it might be like $100 just to apply.
Mm-hmm.
After you apply, they either accept you or decline you. You send in your designs, they either accept or decline. Then they want a sample. So then you got to get the sample from overseas, send it up. They decline and say, hey, this is wrong. You get another sample, send it, they approve. And then after they approve it, then you can start selling online. So that's the whole process.
And then like, you have to give a percentage too. And so some schools are 7%. Mm-hmm. Some schools are 5-2, depends. But even like for Howard, we try to do a shirt and they're like, oh, it's too much red.
Yeah.
You need more blue. You need more gray. Mm. Like it's very specific and very difficult.
Yeah, because every school has their own like licensing department. So it's not like you're working with one person for everything. It's like all schools have one specific person. So this person might not care. And this person might actually care. So you can get away with certain things with others. And then with other ones, they like, nah, you can't do that.
Yeah, so that's something I obviously had to learn. Because, I mean, the story, the original shirt, you had all schools on the back of your shirt.
Yeah.
So was Howard the first school you worked with? And then how many did you take on after that? It was like, let's solidify Howard, and it was one after the other. We'll just knock them all down.
Yeah. I mean, so it's so funny because when all the schools on the back of your shirt, you actually don't need licensing because it's not an individual. It's no colors. It's just words.
Yeah.
So if I say Howard, it could be the white Howard. It could be Howard Stern. It could be anybody. Right. So
when you say Howard University. That's
yeah. When we say Howard University, the Mecca is trademarked. The real HU, like stuff like that.
Real HU.
It's very like, and it is the real HU, by the way.
I was waiting. I knew it was coming. Shout out to our people at Hampton.
But so Howard was the first one because we were already there. We already had a very large footprint from throwing parties. Yeah. So what we did was we took the exact same tactics that we did for throwing parties and sold merch. So we putting stickers all over campuses. We doing flyers under doors. It's the same thing. We touching every single person. Yeah. I'm from North Carolina, and we used to go to North Carolina A&T's homecoming called GHO.
Yeah.
Craziest homecoming. Crazy. If y'all never been to a homecoming, GHO is like that. And I went to Howard, so GHO is like that. So we went to GHO, tore it up. Like Justin was like he's like a social media personality at this time.
Oh,
so we would go to a pep rally wearing our Swear at College stuff and get on stage in front of 1,000 people at another school.
Yeah.
And we used to just like run it up. So then we started A&T. I think we did FAMU. And then we hit the AUC, Clark Atlanta, Spelman Morehouse. But it all started with Howard, A&T, and I would probably say FAM.
Yeah. And now I think we got like maybe like somewhere around 26, 27 licenses, and there's 107 HBCUs. So we're just moving our way.
So is it the goal eventually to have all 107?
Yeah,
knock them all.
Yeah.
Definitely the goal, you know, part of, and we try to explain this to our consumers, like part of it is like, all right, financially it has to be smart. Right. You make something from Howard, it's going to sell out. Make something from FAMU, it's going to sell out.
Mm-hmm.
But you might have a smaller school like, you know, Stillman University that has 800 kids. It's harder for us to go through that process and then not make money. So we try to represent them in different ways, whether it's on social, putting on the back of our shirts and doing things like that, working with their communities to still be able to give back. But it's just, it's all timing, honestly. Mm-hmm.
So, our journey with merch, we started out with Printful.
Uh-huh.
And
you're familiar.
And the problem with that was they was taking too much of the cut.
Yeah.
It was like 60%. Yeah, it was crazy. It was easy because we didn't have to actually buy the merch.
Right.
Yeah. So, for anybody that's not familiar, like, you know, if somebody puts an order in, then they actually make it for you and then they ship it.
Right.
So one of the problems was that they were taking too much. And then when Corona hit, everything got back ordered and it was like 5 months people complaining about that. So we stopped and then we started actually using a manufacturer overseas.
Right.
And now that's what we use now. And then they send it in bulk. Mm-hmm. And then whatever we have, we sell. When it's sold out, it's sold out until we get a new batch of order. So what was your process? Similar?
Oh man, we went through every single way you could do it, bro.
Yeah.
Every single way. We use Printful, print on demand services, Printify, etc. We did it ourselves, like buying a warehouse and hiring seamstresses and heat pressing and sewing it down ourselves. We've gotten stuff from overseas that came straight in. We use fulfillment centers, like literally everything you could think of. We done went from top to bottom, but it started off with just like y'all are screen printing and stuff like everything.
Yeah, right? at first, screen printing is doing that basic stuff and then cut and sew anything overseas.
Right.
But to me personally, and I mean, Justin can say this too, it just depends on what kind of person you are. Like, do you want to be in the warehouse managing people? Do you want to be like me and Justin heat pressed and literally like was wait 30 seconds, lift it up, neck. And that's what we were doing as CEOs. Yeah. Also shipping, also customer service. Right. So it depends on what kind of person you want. Some people just want to make quick money. Printify or whatever is all good, Printful, because you can literally just not do anything but just marketing and brand. But then the margins are different. So it's all about self-awareness and what you want to do. And me and Justin finally decided we don't want to manage that or do it ourselves. And that's when we got our fulfillment center.
Yeah. I know Mike is listening to this like he was pressing in his living room.
Yeah, we was doing that. I forgot that part of it. That's another thing that's we did too. Part, we actually went from Printful to actually pressing it.
Yeah.
And then, so talk about a fulfillment center for people that might not know what that, that is. Like you said, that's what you're using now, right?
What's a
fulfillment center?
So fulfillment center is essentially a place that has warehousing and like it's also known as like third-party logistics, like 3PL. So you send all of your stuff to a warehouse. The warehouse integrates with your store, Shopify, whatever you're using, and then they ship all of the stuff that you've sent to them as your orders come in. So that's fulfillment center in general.
So why do you guys do that as opposed to just having a some place where you actually just ship it out yourself?
I think
for me, like it was one, we did that. We've been there, done that. We had three different warehouses. And for me personally, I'm not good at managing people. And even though we had a warehouse manager, it was just something that used to just weigh on us. And then once we started to scale, like, you know, it's a process. You got to heat press. That takes a certain amount of time. Then you have to sell a certain amount of time. Then you have to package and bag it. Then you have to put it on the shelves and then you have to pull it for orders, right? Mm-hmm. That process, we didn't master well enough to get orders out in a decent amount of time. So you're talking about shipping times and now customers are involved. Right. And for us, like we could have learned the process and went through all of that, or we can go to somebody who already is a master at it. And then we got our margins down too by working with them. So we got our margins lowered and then also somebody who can kind of do everything for us. That was the right decision for us based off of what we wanted to do in our company and how we were trying to scale. Because, you know, we had an order from, was it Jimmy Jazz or somebody like that? And they were like, yeah, we need like 40,000 hoodies in like a few days. And we're like, I mean, we just can't.
4,000, you said?
Yeah, 4,000.
Yeah, 4,000. Yeah. And like, we couldn't do it ourselves. So thinking about that, we like, well, we have a company that can do that in 2 days.
Well, the fulfillment center actually makes the clothes too?
Well, ours now, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So we work with a few, but I was telling Corey, I was like, I just want to be vertically integrated. So it's like, all we have to do is the marketing, which is like what we're really good at. So our current company, we send them designs, they make it from scratch, they bag, fold, store, and then they ship it as well. So it's all in one place. So that way we don't have like a bottleneck on scale, because usually what would happen if you just do a fulfillment center, you can start ordering from Pakistan, wherever, and send it to the fulfillment center. But then as you scale, now as a, you know, if what we're doing is like ordering stuff, you become like, I call it like a glorified like truck operator, because I'm just ordering from Pakistan and figuring out when this DHL truck is going to get to the fulfillment center and going back and forth like, oh, when can I drop and like this and that. Whereas if I have the person that is storing everything that's also making it, now all I have to literally do is market and design, and then everything else is handled from there, and I can always have stock as well.
So it's like essentially kind of like Printful.
Except for it's like our own Printful.
Yeah.
So, and we control the numbers
and the margins.
That's what I, yeah, so like you the original issue was the margins, and you started controlling that. But even the fulfillment center, there's a cost that comes with that. So, like, how did you base it? Was it just like square footage, or like that's where we're gonna grow? So we need 20,000 square feet, or we're gonna start out small and then we'll grow and get new ones as we.
Yeah. So we partnered with the fulfillment center that was like strategically positioned to where they could grow. So they had like 5,000-10,000 square feet, but they were a part of a building that had 100,000 square feet. Mm. So it was more so like. And it's difficult too, because we're like super nimble and like a young company. So when you're partnering with like big fulfillment centers, it has to be the right way, everything right on time, etc. So it was like, we need to partner with someone that could grow with us. So to answer your question, yeah, we like just partnered with someone that was strategically aligned with like us in general, and then we were able to grow like that.
How'd you find the fulfillment center?
That's a good question. A guy named David, he's one of like, so for me personally, like when I don't know stuff, I just like hire consultants to like teach me as we go. So I've been paying maybe like 2-3 consultants for about a year now. And it was a connection from one of the consultants I paid.
Okay.
So
like a mentor.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. Definitely a mentor.
Yeah. Don't pay for the information.
You actually, yeah, you said that. You said that you were against that at first, right? But you said that he taught you a lot of different things that you was doing wrong.
Definitely. Yeah. Like I just, where we were financially at that time, and then also like what we needed, I didn't feel like that was the person. It wasn't necessarily about him. I just didn't think we needed that role in general. And then Justin was like, well, let's just try it for a few months and then we'll revisit in X amount of months. So we tried it for a few months. And then as I started to hear and listen to the calls, I'm like, yo, there's some things that he said that I would have never thought about. Right. And that's what happens to entrepreneurship. A lot of times there's things that we never think about. And so we're losing out on those things because we just don't know. Like the most expensive thing is what you do not know.
What's some of the things that he taught y'all that you was doing?
Oh, yeah. Bro, it's so much. It's like, I mean, even in the clothing space, like you don't know what like UPC codes are, being EDI compliant, or
what is that?
Like, so UPC codes, like you have to assign, because it's kind of like a SKU, but you have to assign UPC codes to your every SKU so that when you're dealing with multiple places, like you're selling on Amazon and then you got your fulfillment center and then you got orders from big box companies, you need to just give them a number so they can associate that to every product that you have. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, bro, I didn't know at all. Like,
you know, no school for that.
No school for that. Then, you know, like being EDI compliant, it's just like, it's just so many things that
was EDI compliant.
So that's like, the thing is with retailers, everyone is different. So like when you deal with Urban Outfitters, you deal with Jimmy Jazz, you deal with et cetera, they all have different ways of receiving goods and getting their POs and et cetera. So you have to like be compliant with each type of person. So that's kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it has to be like, all right, so this can be one box and it can only be 3 smalls, 4 mediums, 2 XLs. It needs to be packed from small to like this. Yeah. This box needs to be 4x7. Like,
yeah, it's very specific. Like that. Yeah.
And that's like going into retail stores.
Yeah. And if you don't send it the way they want, they'll send it back.
And charge you for it.
And charge you.
Yeah.
So all that stuff you didn't know.
No, not at all.
There's a part that you didn't know, and that's marketing.
Right.
So how did we get this thing to become a global sensation, right? Obviously, the party promotion helped out a lot.
Yeah.
So what was that first step that was like, all right, we got to get this person or we got to move it this way, or what were we doing?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of two things. So one is influencer marketing. Mm-hmm. I think that's been our just ride to glory as influencers. Right. And the first influencer we ever got was Teyana Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to her.
Shout out to T. Like, she holds it down for us. Anything she need from me, she got it.
Right.
For sure. And I waited outside of a club. Well, I went into the club, Howard Theater in Howard University, right across from Howard University. And I went into the club. I had a book bag full of merchandise. And this was early on. I didn't have no systems in place, really. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. I just wanted to get her some merch because I understood who she was and her value.
Yeah.
And so I literally stood outside of the VIP section for about 4 or 5 hours in the club. They turning up. I'm chilling, just looking like a weirdo. And it's crazy.
What club was this?
The Howard Theater.
Okay.
Earners, what's going on? If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, but you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It's time to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need, all in one place, instantaneously. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in revenue, save time and money with NetSuite. Join the over 24,000 companies using NetSuite right now. Let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/EYL. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/EYL. That's netsuite.com/EYL. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there.
And it's crazy because we had thrown parties at the Howard Theater. That's how I was able to get in with a book bag.
Right.
That party promotion really helped me.
Right.
I'm like, I pack this stuff out every night. Like, let me get in with this book bag. They searched and everything. And so I was standing outside of VIP
And this lady was like, oh, are you good? Like, what's up with you? Like, you know, you've been here the whole night. What's up? And so, yeah, I'm like, I'm good.
What's in the bag, son? No,
facts. And I'm like, you know, I'm good. I just wanted to meet Tiana Taylor and give her some merchandise. Like, I really appreciate who she is. And I always tell people this. You talk to every single person like they're the celebrity because you never know who you're talking to in your team. Like, somebody could come talk to my sister crazy. You never get into me. But you don't know that's my sister. So I was talking to the lady. We talking about 30, 40 minutes. She's like, oh, come in the VIP. So she let me in. And I'm like, all right, cool. Now I'm kind of hyped because I'm like, all right, bet. I'm in there. But, you know, it's important to keep composure and understand why you're there. It was her. Karen Civil was in there. And a player, Jack McClinton, he played for Miami. And he had just got drafted, I think. So they were all in there. And I'm just me and my little support black college stuff.
Right.
And so long story short, I started building connections in there and just talking to people. And at the end, she was like, hey, follow me to the back. So I'm like, all right, bet. It turns out that the lady I was talking to was Tiana Taylor's mom, was also her manager. And I met the dad and everything. And they from Jersey. And my family's from Jersey. So I made that connection. And we like, oh, Jersey, da-da-da-da-da-da. So we started talking about all that. Long story short, at the end of the night, I was able to give her some stuff. And we took a picture. She's like, let's take a picture. We took a picture. That picture ended up going on social. And it started going crazy. Okay. 2 weeks later, she posted on her page. It was a full fit, like a full sweatsuit. She had on some yellow Jordans. It was like 26s, some random Jordans. She had a full fit on. She posted on her page, and we made like $20,000 when she posted it.
Did she post like the link? Like did she tag you?
She didn't even post the link. She tagged us.
She tagged
you. She didn't post the link.
Like, yo, support Black College.
It's really crazy because after that, a bunch of blogs picked it up, and that's like where it really gained traction because she was so known for fashion. Everybody trying to buy what she had on. And at that point, I understood the value of influencers and what they can do for your brand if you have the right person that aligns with you. So that's where it started.
It's powerful.
Somebody told us a similar type of story. Ladoon. Yeah. You ever heard of My God versus My God?
I thought about Doom.
Yeah.
My God. BYL Doom.
Yeah. When we interviewed him, he was talking the same thing where it's like the best way to get to a celebrity sometimes is through another person. So he thought like drivers.
Right.
Security. Stuff like that. Where people like you don't necessarily think, but these are people that surround them all the time. So it's like you might even give the security merch for themselves.
Right.
Let them rock it, let them feel good about it. And then it's like, how you feel about giving this to Meek Mill or something? Like, you know what I'm saying? Then they might just do it on their own without you even. But now it's more of a relationship because they could actually like, yo, these dudes are really doing their thing. I need to rock with them. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that's the people that they're with all the time. Security, drivers, chefs, workout trainers, stuff like that.
Stylists.
That's barbers.
Anybody in the entourage.
Me and Justin, so we coined a term. It's called indirect influencer marketing.
Yeah.
Indirect, it's like you're not directly talking to that person. You're talking to the person one off of them. So how we got Chris Paul, how we were able to get like Donovan Mitchell, all these people was off, not their people, but literally the person who is their stylist or who works for them. And anytime I'm going to pull up on somebody, because I call it the pull-up method, where I pull up on you, I have this whole way I do things. I always bring something for the security. I always, because I'm like, oh, yeah, you need something, bro? What size you wear? Or 4X? I knew I had a 4X for you. Boom. Because even if the celebrity don't wear it, the person's going to see it.
Right. Talk about the pull-up method and give one example that actually
So I'll give I pulled up on a Lil Baby and Gunna.
Okay.
Got both of them and Thug in the same night. Lil Baby, Gunna, and Thug.
At the club?
Yeah, where was this?
Clark Atlanta Homecoming.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Clark Atlanta Homecoming. So we had built a relationship with Clark Atlanta the year before. We basically overserved them. We gave their whole Royal Court hoodies, and we just took care of them the year before. No, like, we didn't know what was going to happen from it. We just was building a relationship because we say we support black colleges. So how will we not support people who come to us who need the help?
Right.
So we literally were just walking in our truth and what we stand for. And then the next year, he's like, hey, yo, we about to have this concert. I think it's going to be pretty decent. So I'm like, who you got? And so at first, they had only booked Gunna. They didn't even have nobody else. So like, we got Gunna. I'm like, that's good enough. Like, I'll pull up for Gunna.
Yeah.
But he said, we might have some surprise guests because one of our guys, Fly Guy DC, was hosting. And he cool with everybody.
Yeah.
So I said, I'm going to bring as much stuff as I can and just expect whatever. And so I tried to get you to come with me.
Yeah, I was doing something.
And he was like, nah, I ain't going.
Nah, just meditating.
And I'm like, man, I really didn't want to go by myself. Like, and so I tried to get a few. Everybody kept saying no. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go by myself. I don't want to miss this opportunity. So I went, and I'm out there standing. It's outside on the football field. So down on the field is like the VIPs. And it's a lot of people, still a few hundred. And then the whole stadium is filled with kids. and college students. So I got down there and I'm waiting. I'm like outside the VIP. I had a pass to get inside the VIP, like where the backstage and all that was, but I was waiting outside because I was trying to see when somebody walks in, what is their steps from here to here to here to stage? And then what do they do when they come off the stage? See, a lot of people, when they try to get an influencer, they instantly, I'm backstage. Mm-hmm. No, because you're just taking up space. Scope. People are like, right. People are like, what are you doing? So I always stay out first. I look at every single thing. I looked at the small acts coming on. I saw where they were coming out. So I said, okay, this is the entry point. This is the exit point, and this is who's controlling people going in and out. So when I found the person who was controlling who was going in and out, I immediately said, hey, bro, you need a hoodie. Like, you need one of these. Like, I can see, oh, bro, I love the brand. Da-da. Gave him something. I'm like, I'm good to get in there when I need to. I already established that.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you got some stuff for the artist? You know, we got a lot of people coming. I'm like, yeah, bro, of course I do. So he's like, all right, cool. So when I'm there, I'm getting these messages like, hey, I heard Baby was going to be there. Jada, Ari, Gunna, Thug, all these people. So I'm like, oh, it's lit. So I instantly got into my position and I saw Baby, the way he came in, you have to like cross the whole field. So I literally saw him walking and everybody's like, ah! It started to go crazy. So as soon as I saw him, I instantly went back there and I stood like in the corner, kind of in the cut. And my guy who actually got me a ticket to get in, he's like, hey, bro, when he comes, we're going to put him right here and you need to be just be ready. So what I did was I took 3 or 4 hoodies out. I threw my book bag I put it in the corner where nobody could see it. And I was holding them. And in one of my pictures, you could see there was actually a hoodie in between my legs because I was ready to go. So first person I actually saw and talked to was Gunna. I pulled up on him like, hey, what's up, bro? Like, I run this brand, Sport by Colleges. I could tell there was a lot going on. He was kind of just like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, I just like held it up right in front of him, took a picture, right? I instantly gave it to the person who was looking at me the meanest. Because that's always the person who's with him. So I'm like, hey, bro, this is for Gunna, da, da, da. Gave it to him. I knew Gunna wasn't holding that hoodie. Yeah. And he's about to go perform. And I think a lot of times when people pull up, they get so mad at the celebrity don't take it. You got to understand, their mindset is not, I want to get merch. Right. Yes. And think about how many times people try to give them some merch, right. Especially some merch that don't be that good, honestly. Let's just be honest. So that was Gunna. The other two people, Baby was actually very easy to get. So while Gunna was on, Baby was in the back as like the surprise guest. And then in walks Thug and G Herbo. I forgot G Herbo was there too. And so Baby was in the corner, actually really just chilling, him and one person. So I'm like, this is an opportunity. It's not a lot going on. People are all focused on Gunna. So I went and I was about to pull up. And I said, hold on, let me not pull up yet. Because they were like kind of intently talking. So I was waiting for the guy to look at me. And I'm like, I just like kept like doing like this. Like, yo. And so I was like, yo, I got these hoodies. Like, do he want one? And he was like, yeah, bring it over here. So after he said that, I gave it to the Baby. I'm like, yo, I had this brand start getting a spiel. He stopped me. I was like, I done seen this everywhere. And when he said that, I'm like, really? And I'm like, yeah, bro, I see this everywhere. Like, bro, I need one of these. I'm like, bro, I got you. What color and what size? I gave him a few hoodies and I gave his manager one. I appreciate you, bro. Take the hoodie too. Right. And so that's kind of how I operate when I do a pull up. I kind of like focus on entry points, exit points, who's running the show. That's really important, who's running the show. And then also timing is everything. Because if I would have got Lil Baby when he tried to leave, it's hard to give it to him because he's trying to leave, everybody's trying to grab him and all that stuff. So I end up getting Baby, Gunna, G Herbo, Thug, I think one other person that night too.
Yeah.
All in one night getting some merch.
One hell of a night tour.
I wanna just dive into that because it's extremely insightful. Few different standpoints. I feel like it's almost like a military type of strategic training behind it. Like, I mean, even when you were standing outside with Teyana Taylor, like, you know what I'm saying, for 5 hours, like, you gotta have discipline to do that first.
Right, yeah.
You got to.
But then also, like how you said, like when you scope the scene, like that's like a security type of vibe. Yeah. Like when you go somewhere, you look at all the entry points, the exit points, who's there, and he's like, you say, okay, this is the gatekeeper. Even when you say like the person that's me mugging me, you know, you gotta make him happy.
Right.
He's there. You know what I'm saying? All of that stuff is something that people don't necessarily think about. They're like, all right, I'm just gonna run up on a celebrity.
Right.
It's like, that's not how you go about it. You got to be tactical about it. Like, if you was actually doing a military mission.
Right.
I never thought of it like that. That's crazy you said that. I never thought of it.
We've been on a few missions.
Yeah. I already know.
And there's one thing that, and this is why, I know this is why Corey likes for me to come too. Because if you have two people, it's a lot easier. Because you need somebody that just do not care. And that's me.
That's a
fact. So like.
When, he does not care.
So Corey will be like, yo, like, I'm trying to see who in there. I'm like. And I literally just walk straight in. Yeah. And then I just look around and I come back and I'm like, all right, this and that going on. And then he'll plot his play from there.
Same, so, yo, that's crazy.
Like, he'll hype me up. Like, all right, bro, let's get it.
Yeah, it'll be the same, like, with our dynamic. I'll be like, I'll look. Because I remember everybody's face. I'm like, yo,
yeah.
he's in there, she's in there, they in there, they in there. He's like, which one is which? Like, but we've had to do that. He's more like, listen, we're not gonna have another time. This is the time. Right,
that's right.
I had to learn that though. Like, yeah, we ran up, met Envy. Similarly, yeah. I'm like, in my head, I'm like, this is the time. When right. we went to St. John, the artist, he had a album release party, and I called him like, yo, you want to come? He's like, I'm not gonna be able to make it. I gotta do something. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go by myself. This is like the first time I'm about to go on this mission.
Right.
But it was a powerful mission because I didn't realize that people realized who we were.
Right.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, okay. And then we started meeting people, and then we got the relationship with United Masters, and mm-hmm. we met Benny Pugh, who was like Khaled's manager. It was like, oh,
it all
successful mission. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah, you got to be tactical about it.
And the thing is this, it won't always work out. I think that people got to understand that. Like, I waited outside of Meg Thee Stallion's dressing room for 5 hours. I literally...
That's who loves 5 hours.
I'm trying to tell you. Just to tell you, it was the night before Essence Fest.
Yeah, oh my God.
We had the warehouse all day packing for Essence Fest, putting stuff in trucks. And so I left the shower to go to Meg Thee Stallion's concert, which I finessed into with a book bag as well. And I ended up getting all the way down to her dressing room because the guy that was at the front recognized the brand, and I knew one of the guys in the back. And it's actually funny because while I was back there, they did a sweep. Anybody who's not supposed to be in here got to get out.
What's going on, Ernest? Look, at 26, I made one of the most important decisions of my life. That's right. I didn't have family at the time, but I did have a life insurance policy. A wise man told me life insurance isn't about the people who die. It's about the people who live. It's one of the best ways to secure generational wealth for your family's future. And it makes perfect sense why people get life insurance, especially term coverage, which surprisingly is affordable. Why not pay a little bit each month to secure the future of the people you love long term? If you're asking yourself that question, I want you to check out Ladder. Ladder makes it impressively fast and easy to get coverage. You just need a few minutes and a phone or a laptop to apply. Ladder's algorithms work instantly, so you'll know right away if you're approved for coverage. No hidden fees, and you can cancel any time. And since life insurance costs more as you age, now is the time to get started. So check out Ladder today to see if you're instantly approved. Go to ladderlife.com/EYL. That's LADDER life.com/EYL. That's ladderlife.com/EYL. You know how this works. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Secure your family's future right now.
I hid in the bathroom for 20 minutes waiting. But I'm trying to tell you, I'm like, feet on the toilet seat. Like, yo, I don't want to get kicked out because I'm already back here. I ended up surviving a sweep. And then the person who was standing outside her dressing room was like, she just kept looking at me. And I was like, you know, when is Meg coming? You know, kind of thing. Because she was dumb late to the show. It's like 1 a.m. And so I'm like, yo, I just have some merch for her. Like, I really just want to put this merch in here. I don't even got a meter. I just want to put it in there. So I think a liquor company was sponsoring it. And I put my stuff in the display that the liquor company had put up as a display because I knew that they would go to the liquor to drink, obviously, whoever's with her. So I put it in there. All of that worked out. I'm like, cool. Now we just wait, right? About 20 minutes later, I'm like, all right, I got to leave because we had to go. Like, it was a long day. Long story short, I was texting one. I got the girl's number and I was texting her to kind of figure out, so when she come, all of that. She didn't text me back the rest of the night. The next day, I hit her like, hey, what happened with the bag? You know, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And she was like, yeah, Meg never came to the dressing room. Like, she never came. She got on stage and left instantly. And I was like, it was a lot of merchandise. It was at least like...
It was hella stuff.
It was hella stuff because I got stuff for our whole team and everything. I wanted everybody to be able to get something. And Meg is our ideal influencer. She went to Texas Southern, graduated from HBCU. She big, you know, she's really popular. So that ended up not working out. And I spent 5 hours of my life where I could have easily been doing something else doing it, but you just don't know. And if you don't take that leap of faith, then you have no idea what could have came out of it.
Yeah. It's also going back to the person next to you. It's the casino. Yeah. You ever watch that movie?
Nah, I never seen it.
You've heard of it though?
Yeah, I've heard of
top five. One of my top five movies.
Wow.
So Casino is about he's about like these mobsters that was running Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. So one of the main characters, his name is Sam Rothstein, played by Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
So in the movie Casino, he was talking and he was saying that the most important people in Vegas, who do you think he said was the most important people in Vegas?
I would say the people who make the machines.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I feel like now it's going to be the person next to you now.
I'm like, Justin's going to get this.
You know me, I'm so you're saying the most important people in Vegas was not the high rollers, not the bosses, none of that. It was the valet parkers. Mm. Because he was like, Vegas is real big on valet. Everybody, it seems like the people that valet know everything, and they know everybody.
Right.
So he was like, the key to Vegas is the valet parkers. Wow. Like, you get in good with the valet, and they move. It was a crime movie, so they were talking about, like, drugs and all that stuff. But he was like, valet people are really the conduit. Celebrities, everything, it all goes through the valet. Sometimes you overlook the most important person because you're trying to get to who you think.
See, and that's what happened with us, because when we were trying to get Chris Paul, Corey had went to a game and he was like literally at the tunnel trying to like pass him something. And then we came back.
5 hours.
That was only 2 hours. But that was...
So then he comes back to the crib and I'm just telling him, like, bro, it's got to be a better way. And then I was just like, all right, let's look at everyone that Chris Paul is following and then just go look through their social media profiles, see who it is. So then we ended up finding his stylist. And then that's when it clicked to us, too. It was like, damn, Chris Paul's not dressing himself. You know, LeBron, like, none of them. And then we also came to realization that the stylists have multiple clients. So if I could just get in good with one stylist, they're going to dress everybody else, too. So we ended up sending her a message. And then she was just like, oh, we heard about you. We bought some stuff, actually. We're waiting on the package to come out. So we put a bunch of stuff in that package, sent it off to him. And then that relationship from getting, quote unquote, denied at the tunnel went to us finding the stylist, which went to Chris Paul wearing something, which went to him wearing it on the Allstate commercial, which then went to the NBA Players Association wanting to do a partnership, then led to the partnership with the NBA, and then led to us doing everything for the All-Star game. So it all started from just making that one connection with the indirect influencer marketing.
Yeah, I feel like during the pandemic and obviously the civil unrest in the country, like, we started seeing the athletes doing, are we talking about that time frame with Chris Paul and everything?
That's right when it started. And two, so the ability to pivot, right? That's like extremely important. And a lot of people didn't pivot correctly for the pandemic, but a lot of people did pivot correctly.
Especially in retail, right?
Yeah, especially in retail. Like, me and Justin had that conversation, like, are people going to buy clothes during the pandemic? Like, you don't need clothes.
I thought we were going to zero, bro.
He was worried that the business would shut down. And so we made a split decision to make this this mock-up of a shirt that says Support Black Lives. And there was a brown and black shirt, Support Black Lives. And there was a Desmond Tutu quote on it talking about an injustice, like some people going to act and some people not, essentially. And that shirt did $100,000 in one day over a mock-up. We got on computer Canva, marked something up real quick, and just dropped it to the audience because the need was there. Right. I think it was like the day after George Floyd passed. Mm-hmm. And what we did was we was like, all right, we're going to donate proceeds to this foundation. And we ran it up literally 100K in 24 hours. And I was like, this is important. We have to understand when to drop, how to drop, and what are we supporting? What cause are we supporting? And how does this impact the lives of people who are going to purchase it? And from that point, we understood that even during the pandemic, we can make money. And then the players hopped on, and then this hopped on, and then it just became a whole movement.
Yeah, it was everywhere.
What you spoke about, shout out to Chris Paul. He's the second group of people that we supported that's been on the show. Eastside Golf, you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're hard.
Yeah, they hard. I always see him do stuff.
We had them on the show, and Chris Paul, he supported them, kind of similar situation.
Yeah.
But what you spoke about, that's another marketing strategy. Brandon Medford was the first person that actually said it, but I was doing that before. Shout out to him, PTG. You know them? PTG? They do the cars.
The car.
But he was on, and he was talking about how he got to Meek Mill, and he sold Meek Mill a Lamborghini Urus. And so DMing Meek Mill, he's not responding. All right. Obviously. Right. He's Meek Mill. So he says, okay. And this is something that I was doing too, and you just said it's good. So you go to somebody's list of who they're following, right? Right. It's usually like at least one or two mutuals.
All right.
Yeah, everybody has a mutual.
Yep.
So he went to Meek Mill's list to see who he was following. It turns out Meek Mill was following a lot of exotic dancers that he had sold cars to because they had bad credit.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So he's like, oh, I know her.
All right.
So he reached out to a few of them. Long story short, like two of them hit him back. And then that same day, he was in communication with Meek Mill.
Right.
And then he ended up selling the car to him like the next day. Wow, so that's a good way to go about it, too. Yeah. It's like, who are they following?
Right.
Because usually if somebody's following somebody, they at least have some level of relationship.
Right.
And then if you know the person, now you can come in and say, hey, can you give me a referral?
Right.
I need to meet this person. How do I go about it? So now it's a warm lead as opposed to a cold call.
I was gonna say the power of referral, right? Meek puts out a tweet or an Instagram post like, I'm looking for the Lambo truck, If I just sold 7 cars to all these ladies,
right?
They're like, I know the guy.
Right.
I got to get him. And so, right. like, he was able to get that Lambo truck.
It reminds me a lot of when we got the close into the NBA 2K game because...
Let's not just gloss over that. shout out to y'all for that. Like, that's major.
It was, bro, it's funny because I always tell Corey that was the easiest thing we ever did.
Yeah, like, top 5 easiest.
Had to be, and then not the top 3, like, yeah, probably. Three, it was up there.
For sure.
So... It was interesting because we was looking at all these NBA players wearing HBCU stuff, even wearing our stuff. And then we like, bro, we should get into the game. Like, it just makes sense. So we go to Ronnie2K's Instagram and we see he got millions of followers. So it was like, that ain't going to work. So then we go to everyone that he's following and just look at everyone who has NBA 2K in their bio. Like, they work there in some capacity.
There's only 400 people that he followed.
Right.
Only 400.
So hit up all of those people, maybe like 10, 15. And then a few got back. But then one of them happened to go to an HBCU. So he was like, I don't know. I'm not the guy that does this, but I know the guy who does. Mm-hmm. Then he put us in an email thread, and then the next day it was done. And that was all we did.
Literally.
Fire.
Yeah. The guy was like, bro, I played at UMES. He was like, bro, I love y'all's brand. He said, all I want is a hoodie out of this. I said, bro, we will send you as many hoodies as you want. We got on that email. I'm talking about 2 days later, I was sending them designs. And we had to figure out how to make it video game design. Yeah, it's not just a regular PNG.
Right.
So we had to hire somebody to make it a video game file. But I mean, it was literally us just going the extra step. Because most people quit at, oh, Ronnie didn't respond, bro.
You got to be creative. Another way that we've done before is like with Mark Cuban, worked a few times for us, where like we wrote a post about like Mark Cuban, and I'm like, tag him in the comments if you want to see him on EYL. That, two ways how that could work, because we did the same thing with Gary Vee. And Gary Vee, so many people tagged him in the comments that his actual like operations manager actually reached out to us. Like,
had to.
Gary's ready.
Yeah.
They had to.
And then we did it. But then the other side is that with Mark Cuban, a lot of people, and what happened is that, shout out to Al Harrington. Al Harrington actually hit us up like, yo, I know him. Like, I see y'all trying to get him.
Right.
So sometimes you just got to make it. You got to make your want public.
Yeah.
And then he connected the dots and we got it done. So
that might be one of the top 3 easiest ones that we had.
Oh,
yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. Like,
right.
Exactly. That ain't nobody. To
he's a billionaire. Like,
it was like, yo, here's his email. I'm like,
that's crazy.
Just like what?
See, and that's what happened with the what if method. Because
what's that? What's the what if method?
So what we do is like we'll come up with ideas of people that we want to do collabs with or partnerships with, and then we'll say, what if, or what would it look like if we partnered with X, Y, and Z? So we, Urban Outfitters had actually did a partnership with this other brand, and they made some HBCU stuff, and it was like in Urban Outfitters, but on Twitter it was getting slandered crazy because like it didn't feel authentic.
It was too expensive. It was a lot of things.
They didn't like the designs, like stuff like that. So we was like, all right, that happened. We need to strike fast. And then we say, what if we did the collaboration with Urban Outfitters? What would it look like?
Yeah.
And then we put it out. Thousands of likes or whatever, and everybody was tagging Urban. So then the next day we look in the email and Urban's like, yo, we saw what you guys were doing, we'd love to get you in the store, X, Y, and Z.
Nice.
And then that turned into, I mean, they bought hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of stuff from us now.
That's really smart, because you capitalize off of somebody else's mistake. And it's like brands do that all the time, where they just make mistakes, right? And it's like they might have just did the wrong collab, they might have had the wrong commercial, and then everybody's like trying to like trash them and all of that. Like, all right, instead of like just throwing them away, what if, I like that.
What if?
So that works. So social media obviously is key here, right? We did it with 2K, we did it with Urban Outfitters,
right?
When what if we're in Macy's? Because, I'm not sure how in tap they are with social media, So, like, how did that even come about? Like, who approached them?
Yeah, so that was from like consultants. So the good thing is like I like to pay for people's experience, you know what I'm saying? So when I hire a consultant like him, they already have access to all of these other places. So once we got into Urban and kind of proved the concept, he was like, "Oh, bet. I'm taking it to Macy's, DTLR, Bloomingdale's, etc." And then that's really all it was. So it was essentially like, hey, make me a line sheet. You're in Urban already. I'm going to send it over to Macy's. And it was instant like
proof of concept. Everything you're saying transcends so many different businesses.
Yeah.
And it's like one thing about businesses that whether it's merch, whether it's podcasting, whether it's whatever, it's a lot of similarities in it. And it's like even for us, like, you know, we did an activation at Art Basel and with Ally United Masters, and that was something that was really unique because, you know, financial literacy activation.
Right. That's crazy.
It worked out. Now we have a proof of concept.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like, all right, what event do we want to do next?
Exactly.
Like,
you know what I'm saying? Whatever you want.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Take your poison.
Exactly.
Once you do one thing, now you have a proof of concept.
We have to do this again.
No, for sure.
Everywhere.
And then this is what we do too, because it's funny because you're right, because we're going back and forth like how things work out. And when you said that, I thought about how we get other influencers to wear our stuff. So once, like, Chris Paul wears something, we'll DM KD and be like, yo, KD, Chris Paul wearing something, Devin Booker, Giannis Antetokounmpo, you know, all these people, like, what you on?
Yeah. Yeah.
You're the only one missing out.
I'm like, what type of time
you like, do you not support? I don't get it. And then, you know, we just joking or whatever.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that proof of concept makes them like, oh, damn, all the homies wearing it. Like, let me go ahead and support it.
We throwing them name. We throwing Giannis at them. Like, Giannis CP. It's
he
like
from Greece.
It gets you credibility, too.
Yeah.
Like, once one person, same thing with us. Like, it's like, all right. We can go to, you know, whoever and be like, yo, all right, Rick Ross is on the show. T.I.'s on the show.
Right.
Khaled's on the show.
On. Yeah.
So don't try to act like YouTube for the show. Like, you know what
it
I'm
should
saying?
Be not one person should be like, I'm not coming on that show. Not one person.
Right. Nah,
it's no way.
It definitely adds a lot of credibility once one person stands next to it. It's like a lot of other people feel more comfortable standing next to it.
When y'all chose Chris Paul specifically, obviously he was the president of the NBPA at the time, so I get it. Like, you didn't choose, like, it's like we could have cited LeBron, but like, this guy can get to the entire league. Were you making custom designs specifically for them to make it unique? Like, all right, well, I just don't want to have that one.
Yeah,
because I remember they had the jacket with the
with the joints all the way down.
So that was a custom we did for all the NBA All-Stars. Actually, we spent the way that came about was crazy because that wasn't supposed to happen. Yeah. So what I did was I looked at an old All-Star jacket from years ago, one of my favorite ones. I forgot where they were, what city it was, but they basically had they had the black and white, like they had the stars of how many All-Stars they had.
They had
like MVP trophies. So I was like, we should do that down the sleeves, and then the All-Star colors, red and blue, and then on the back put their number and their name. And so we were up until like 4 a.m. the morning of All-Star still making those hoodies
because
we made them all from scratch. But we did, for him, for Chris Paul, we sent our regular stuff, obviously. We sent vintage t-shirts that weren't even ours, just vintage HBCU that we had thrifted. And we was like, he wears that kind of stuff, let's throw it in there. And we were just giving him any and everything HBCU so he could have enough to talk about, right? So he's always talking about it, it's always on brand. Then when he puts our stuff on, then it's like, oh, it makes sense. He already was talking about this. And so we kind of warmed the audience up with not just our stuff, but even stuff that wasn't ours, just so people would talk about it and have conversation.
Yeah.
And then it came time to the bubble. So the NBA had the bubble. They shut down the NBA. I'm like, dang, we had so much momentum. All the players were wearing our stuff.
Yeah.
The bubble came. Chris Paul's team hit me. They said, Corey, we want to do a sneaker for a bunch of different HBCUs, custom sneakers, custom Jordans. And every sneaker is going to have an HBCU. And we want to tell a story. So what I did was I did some research. I'm like, this is the founding date. This is this. And I would make them post. They would send me the shoes before he even went on the court. Like pregame, they taking pictures and stuff. I would get those pictures before the game started, and I would quickly send it to our graphic person. He would make a post. By the time Chris Paul, the game is over, he posting the sneakers, all of that. Our logo's on every single post. Our logo's on every single post. And he's like, support Black College. And he's saying, oh, Clark Atlanta was founded here. These shoes were inspired by Clark Atlanta. And so we do stuff like that for Chris and the team because they really are about supporting HBCU. They really about that life. And so we just give them whatever they need because it's worth it for them and it's worth it for us.
Just the general idea of support Black business and Black pride was at an all-time high.
1,000%.
So a brand like Support Black Colleges, that just, like, you know what I mean, goes hand in hand with that social conscious awareness that's happening.
Bro, it's interesting because, like, things like that you can't really time. You know, it's just like a certain element of luck. So I was just thinking about that the other day, and I was like, Amber, like, there's no way we could have planned that. So when all of those things happened, all we had to do was just pivot. And then everybody was, I was like, Corey, it's very possible that people are going to just buy white tees and, like, you know, not spend no money. And then everybody's mindset shifted to, oh, no, we're only supporting Black businesses.
And over-supporting.
And that's it. And then so we were like, all right, bet. So we need to pivot, drop more stuff, and then spend more in advertising. And then that's when we spent the, like, most in advertising we ever had. And those are some of our biggest months ever.
Yeah. I'm just thinking from a standpoint where it's like,
the name is perfect, right? Because if everybody's trying to support Black, once you type it, support Black,
right,
you're at the top of the search.
Definitely at the top of the search.
Like, you're at the top of the search. So it's like the first thing that they go, see, that's what I was going to say. The SEO marketing is like, wait, support Black. As soon as I type it in, it's you. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is the first place. Oh, wait, support Black colleges? Yeah, we definitely have to do
that. Right.
That's good. That's incredible. And our SEO is so good. I had a lady call me and said, my brand is called HBCU something something, and y'all's page always comes up. And like, how do I get this to stop? And I'm just like, I have no idea even how that happened. People are just searching it. But the truth is, like, we spend money on that.
And
one thing about that is, like, about just doing what you're supposed to be doing. Y'all were already doing this. And so when you're doing what you're supposed to do and true to who you really are, the people will find you. And they found y'all just like they were supposed to. Right. They found us just like we wasn't supposed to get all this money in 2 years ago. We wouldn't have been ready for it. We wouldn't have been prepared for what was coming. So everything comes at the right time, and we appreciate the time that it came. It was unfortunate how it had to come, but we made it work.
And you got to be positioned. So that's another thing, too. You have to be positioned. And like you said, you don't know when something's going to happen.
Right.
Sometimes you're just fortunate enough to be at the right place at the right time. Yeah. Right. But the thing with the right place at the right time that's misleading is that you could be at the right place at the right time, but the third part is being prepared.
Yeah. That's
good. So you could be at the right place, right time. If you're not prepared, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And we were prepared to benefit from the financial crisis. Right. You were prepared to benefit from, you know, everything that was going on because you had the infrastructure in place. Mm-hmm. We had the infrastructure in place. So I tell people all the time, like, build your infrastructure, do the groundwork, and you never know what could happen, but you can't benefit from it if you're not prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like part of my thing is, like, I always say, like, being in the right place all the time.
Yeah.
Like, whether you got to hide in the bathroom, whether you got to wait 5 hours, you're doing it. And it didn't work. That's fine. I'm going to put myself in position every time. I'm going to put it as many positions I can be in, I'm in, because it could work.
It's a game of numbers.
It could work.
Eventually, it's going to work.
Exactly.
Right. And somebody got to say yes eventually. Like, even if you're like, I'm just going to say yes because I feel bad for him for waiting. I'll take the pity yes.
Hiding in the stall, y'all.
And I think, too, because we talk about times that did work, but we should talk about time that didn't work. And that's when we made $1 million on Black Friday. And it actually backfired on us. Like, it wasn't what we thought making $1 million would be like.
So talk about that. So most people say you made $1 million on Black Friday. That's a, you know, that's a successful day by any measure.
Successful year, life. So
how is that? How did that backfire?
So I'll tell the beginning of the story. I'll let Justin kind of finish it. But one thing about the way life happens is something bad always happens before something good happens. So before we made that money, our warehouse had flooded actually 2 weeks before that.
Ooh.
It was a big rainstorm. And I think all of us were out of town. I was in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I think you were in Houston because we had to send Bilal to go check on the warehouse.
Yeah.
So it rained in Atlanta randomly, like OD hard for like 2 days. Mm. And so we got a call from the warehouse, like, hey, a lot of warehouses are flooding. Go check on your warehouse. Send somebody up there. Sure enough, it flooded. Now, this is the worst part about it. It's not like just regular stuff flooded. It was all our stuff from overseas. So you know how that works. It takes time. You can't just make it. So it was all cut and sew stuff. And that was our Black Friday sale. Pissed, just like whatever. So we ended up getting a warehouse like 4 days. We like, we got to get out of here. We got a new warehouse. We lost, I don't know how much money we lost, anywhere from $20,000 to $50,000 worth of stuff.
Yeah.
So that was a big chunk, and the margins on that were great.
Right.
And so we ended up losing that. We moved into a new warehouse, and we had to redirect how we were going to market and brand. A pivot, once again. In crisis, something good always comes out of it.
Right.
So we actually got really creative, influencer marketing, posts from all these big platforms, and we really went ham on the ground. Email, text message marketing. And we learned that stuff in that 2 weeks in order to prepare for the Black Friday launch. And I want you to type it on the Black Friday launch and then, like, what happened after that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it was like a 5-day campaign. So between Black Friday, and we start Black Friday a little bit early, too, because something I learned from my consultants is most of the big box companies are starting them way earlier, and they're disguising it as friends and family sales. So, but their tactic is just steal all the money from everybody before small businesses can even get a chance to make money, because they're starting on Black Friday. So we started a little early, like
how early?
We started that year. I think we were like maybe Wednesday.
I think we started on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah.
But the big box was starting 2 months early.
Right. Yeah. You start seeing those sales in October.
Yeah. So we put that together. Then we kind of ideated like what we wanted to do. We ended up doing a buy one, get one hoodie. So it was like, I mean, essentially 50% off or like whatever. And it went crazy, bro. Like, we sent out how many texts? Probably like three texts a day, two emails a day, something along those lines. And yeah, within that 5-day period, we did a little over $1 million, like a little under 1.1. And yeah,
it was crazy. Yeah. And to a little hack for Black Friday, always drop a new product at full price.
Yeah.
So you have your sales stuff, obviously. Every Black Friday, drop a new product at full price because people are still going to buy because they feel like they're getting a deal on everything else. So instead of sending their money somewhere else, just spend the full price with you. That's a hack. Yeah. And then for us too, I think one thing that really did us well was disguising that BOGO, I mean that 50% off as BOGO, and then like, oh, free shipping too if you spend this much. Mm-hmm. So it was like deal on top of deal on top of deal. That way you feel like there's no way I can't get this and make it happen. So that's how we were able to get the money. I mean the numbers. And after that, the part that was hard was fulfilling the stuff.
Yeah.
Because we had 34,000 items sold.
Yeah.
14,000 orders. Yeah. So 34,000 items, and we had a staff of what, 8 people?
Yeah.
Manually heat pressing. So that's when.
Guess what, guys?
Hey, listen, it's overtime this year.
So by the end of that season, we had what, 30 staff people?
Yeah, 30, somewhere around there.
Hiring as like, yeah, right after.
So you didn't have the inventory in place.
No.
We thought we had enough, you know, at first.
Yeah, it sounds good.
We didn't have nothing. Like the stuff we had on the shelves were gone that day.
Yeah.
And then what we realized was like, man, we wasn't really prepared for $1 million day.
Yeah.
And so I think we ended up getting those orders out. I mean, they finished in like March or April.
It happened to us. 2 years ago, same thing happened. We didn't do $1 million of merch, but we did a lot of merch. Mm-hmm. That was our first time actually using the guys overseas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they were promised us something that they really couldn't.
They always do.
And it took us till springtime to actually mm-hmm. fulfill that orders. And a lot of people was unhappy. And right. It was a lot. It was just a whole
thing. It's tough, man. Yeah. It's tough.
He has high anxiety. So can you imagine him during this time?
Oh, man.
That's why now we don't sell anything that we don't have.
Yeah. It's like, learn. Let's learn.
Going back to this, that's like a street rule.
Yeah. Every day, I'm like, yo, bro, sorry, man. We're going, it's coming.
It's coming.
Don't sell any work that you don't have.
So y'all hired 30 people.
Yeah.
And do we keep these people?
Nah.
Or is it like seasonal?
Some of them were planning to be seasonal.
Okay.
But you know, we were living that life like, oh, we got a warehouse. We got 30 employees. We was talking on social media. We got 30 employees.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's lit. But not understanding that a lot of those people weren't actually doing anything. Mm-hmm. So we're paying people and it looks busy because you're taking a hoodie here. But the production seemed to even go lower than when we had 8 people. Mm-hmm. When we could actually have eyes on everybody.
Yeah.
And so we didn't keep everybody for a long time. We actually started letting go of some people during that time. Right. And then we pivoted and brought in some other companies.
Because that's one of the things, too, is like we made the decision to let everything continuously sell because, I mean, we saw like the numbers we were doing. I knew that I had some connection somewhere to be able to get the stuff made. So we made some connections with these guys called Takedown Sportswear down here. And they can do like 1,000 hoodies a day for us. Heat press, so the whole thing. So we ended up just using the money that we made from Black Friday, giving them a fat chunk of it. And then they just started hammering all the hoodies out, and then we just, as everything came in, we was just fulfilling instantly when it came in. That's kind of how it went.
So those are the employees, but I know you have ambassadors.
Yeah.
So like, there's over 100 ambassadors. What's that process like? Is this like when we see like the Ciroc boys or something like that? Like, how does this work?
we're not that defined. But I'll say this: we stopped it last year because of COVID. Like a lot of people weren't on campus. But basically, what we do is kind of the same, like indirect influencer marketing. We find people that are like student council presidents, or like the popular Greeks, or the basketball team, whoever has the most followers. And all we do is go to, if I search North Carolina A&T, I'll look at their location, and the first few posts are always the people with the most followers. Yeah. So I'm clicking. I'm like, okay, what does he do? And we basically just get those, all the cool kids, popular kids, and we utilize them. And then like TikTok is so popular now, so we got a guy from Howard, Zeddy. I mean, he get 200,000 views. He's from New York. He get 400,000 views on every video.
On TikTok?
Yeah.
What kind of video is it?
He just be like
dancing,
like, talking New York slang. You know, people love New York culture. And so, and he's hella funny though. But he'd be on campus like just doing all this dancing and all that with our hoodies on. And we use people like that, so that way it's, we always have a pulse on campus. Yeah. And then on top of that, we'll say, hey, let us know if there's any pop-up shops, if it's homecoming, when is homecoming start, when are y'all having probates? Like, I'm trying to be at everything. And so they serve as the voice, because me and Justin, obviously, yeah, they're not.
Yeah. You were the guys on the campus.
Right.
So it makes perfect sense. Like,
so we just reached back out.
Everything you've done your entire lives has prepared you for this moment, yeah, all of it.
And I like, my favorite part about the ambassadors is how we kind of like put them all in one place. So we'll use like a group me and just talk to them all. So we kind of use it as like our pulse on the market. So to be like, yo, we're thinking about dropping this, what do you guys think? Because they're like our direct audience. So then they'll be like, nah, change this, that don't work, X, Y, and Z. And then we can like redefine our design process to make it make sense for when we go to market actually. And then the other thing I like about the ambassadors is like the way that we incentivize them too. Mm-hmm. So we use like this app called Crewfire, and we basically just put them all in a group and they get points for whatever action they take on our social media. So it'll be like, post this to your story within 5 minutes or 10 minutes, get this many points. Post this, you know, comment on our picture or like it or whatever, get this many points. And then they get incentivized by like, and whenever you have a certain amount of points, you can get free merchandise with it as well. So it kind of like tricked the algorithm as well, because it'll be like, we post, they instantly get a text message and an email that then tells them, yo, go interact with this to get your points. And then now within the first 5 to 10 minutes, hundreds of people are interacting with our posts, which is then telling Instagram, this is a good post, and then sending it to the rest of our audience. So we're able to get maximum engagement on the posts that we use.
Nah, that's real smart. Oh, you paid them too, or just free merch?
Yeah, free merch. We don't really pay them.
We pay if they do like certain things, like okay, if it's something like a one-off, or if you get a certain amount of points, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, to utilize the kids in school, because that's, you know, that's who's actually driving the whole pulse of the whole situation.
Yeah. I even thought about it too. Like, I was thinking about this because I think like in business, it's really important to like try to scale the unscalable. So like at one point I was like, I really want to hire a VA to just literally go on Instagram's like different hashtags for different schools and literally all day just DM people that go to these schools and try to get them to the ambassador program, or just be like, yo, I see you go to Alabama State, use code MyASU for 25% off some Support by College gear, mm-hmm, and just do that all day long. Like, but I mean, we never got into that because it's hard to manage, but it's just like
very hard to manage.
Yeah.
But
no, I got some ideas I'll talk to you off camera about.
I got an idea.
I want to ask before we wrap, ads. Oh, you had mentioned ads a few times. Can you talk about that, like your ad journey and what you learned from running ads? These social media ads, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. So we run Facebook, Instagram, Google, YouTube, a few others. We're like starting to experiment with TikTok. The experience, I was already running ads before, like for like drop shipping companies and stuff before I had moved down. But I was like, I didn't understand a few things. So there's a few things to understand here. One, if you get any of these four things wrong, it's going to be a failure when you're talking about ads. You have to have the right copy, what you're saying to the people, the right creative, what you're showing them, the right targeting, the people that you're putting it in front of, and then also your website has to be optimized. Because even if I have all three things right, the right copy, the right creative, and the right targeting, but my website is inoperable, I'm not going to make money. Mm-hmm. So you have to strengthen all four of those things. And if you do any one of them wrong, it's not going to work out for you. But my experience specifically, because I ran the ads for us for multiple months until we gave it off to a team, it was difficult to like identify how to learn. And I was like really just spending a lot of time on YouTube and just learning from different people. And it came to me one day, I was like, if I don't execute and like put this campaign out, I'm never going to do it. So I was like, this is my game plan. I'm going to find one person on YouTube who I think is good at what they do, who is vetted and verified and has done something that I want to do. And then I'm going to just watch their videos and literally do exactly what they say. And that, I made the campaigns, and then I was like, all right, bet I'm going to just press go on it. I pressed go on it, and then we were seeing like a 400% return on everything that we spent within the first couple of days. So then I was like, all right, I know this from the free stuff. What can I get from the paid stuff? So that same person I was watching on YouTube, paid him $100 for a consulting call. Come look at the ads, structure everything for me as well. And then after that, I spent like $1,000 here, $1,000 there on different courses and whatnot, and kind of just educated myself in that way. And that's just like, I'm really into ads. So the biggest thing about it was just like getting over the analysis paralysis, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I always say this quote is like, perfection is just an excuse not to execute. So it's like you're trying to get everything perfect. And Corey always says, you're trying to get it perfect, but you just need to be present. So I was like, all right. And then that was kind of our experience. It went from not knowing who to trust, what to do, picking one person and saying, okay, cool, investing in myself and learning even deeper knowledge. And then from there, outsourcing it to a team after I had a full understanding of what to do.
Earners, what's going on? Look, head over to supportblackcolleges.org right now. Use the promo code EYL and get 15% off everything. That's right, everything. There's no time like right now to get some new drip. So head over there right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Don't play yourself. Reward yourself. Get some new merch, y'all.
Whole lot of that's game.
That's powerful.
This is why he's here. I hang out with the celebrities. He does the real work, and it's a good team. It's perfect.
So what's next? What's next for you guys? What's on the vision board?
Oh, man.
We always say this. We always have two different answers because we think totally different. For me, I mean, I would like to continue to scale. One of my goals is to be in every Barnes & Noble's on every HBCU bookstore because we can get on campus. That's cool. Physically showing up, but Barnes and Noble has most of the contracts for all HBCUs. So if we can get our stuff in the bookstore, we don't have to sell as hard to the schools because you can get it every time. And then during homecoming, instead of us setting up a booth to sell, go to the bookstore and get everything, and we can just do a big activation where we're just having fun. Right. And then, you know, merch is, oh, we're in the bookstore, go get that. Yeah. So that's one of my goals. I think that we can scale really big and, I don't know. I just my goal is more about impacting as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So like, I want to impact a million people on social. Like, I want to be able to continue to grow the love for HBCUs. I want to get that first really, really big recruit to an HBCU. Like, we're working on those kids. Like, we're talking to the kids. Like, hey, what do you think about going to school?
Dion did that.
Oh, yeah, he's killing it.
Yeah, that was one of that. Probably my last question was like, we're seeing a movement in sports, right? Mm-hmm. We saw it with. Make her go to Howard, five-star recruit, and now we're seeing top five and top 10 recruits going to Jackson State.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, like, how are y'all feeling? Like, your influence?
We in there.
Yeah, you can feel it?
We talking to Dion. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked to Dion. He got merch.
Yeah.
Hey, can my boys get some? Of course. Like, and a lot of those guys, there was one guy who was at Alabama State, their guy. He hit us, like, before he went, like, hey, what y'all think? What school would you? We, like, we would go here.
Yeah,
and we literally, like, I don't want to say names in school, but there are schools that are coaches that are hitting us up like, hey, I heard some, I seen y'all post someone, so y'all know him? Yeah. We're like, yeah, we know him. What you need? Right. And I'm like, yo, go here over Duke. Go here over, I'm literally telling them because the coach hit me. And I'm like, yo, that's what it's all about.
They waiting on the Mikey call. Mikey, where you going?
Oh, you know, Mikey's the homie.
Yeah. Oh, is he?
Yeah, Mikey came by the warehouse, last year?
Yeah.
And his mom told us, she was like, Mikey tried to commit his freshman year to an HBCU, and she was like, hey, hold on.
He put Howard on his list.
It's off of his shorter list. I think Hampton, Tennessee State, and I think Texas Southern's on his list still.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see what he's going to do. I'm very interested. He likes HBCUs. I'll just say that. Right. But his mom went to Hampton.
I got to get this up because I'm looking at the logo. Every time I see the logo, it makes me think of early 90s.
Yeah.
I think different world.
Fresh Prince.
Yep. Is that what influence is drawn from?
1,000%.
1,000%?
1,000%.
Yeah.
And then the colors are just based off of primary colors mixed with like Africa and you think, you know, the greens and the yellows and then it's like a shield.
Yeah.
It's like a symbol. So when you wear it, you like, I got the shield on my chest. Yeah. That's why we call this the official airport hoodie. Right. Like, you walk in the airport, you going to see one of these. Every time I go to the airport, I see four or five of these. And people are like, oh yeah, I got mine in the airport. Like, that's my airport hoodie. And it's just like a shield. It's proud. And it's so crazy because when my friends see it somewhere, they'll call me like, hey, Corey, I just saw your hoodie in it. And it's like, you so proud. And that's like not even your hoodie. Like, you saw somebody in it. And that's what it's really all about.
Yeah, I think that's important, too, because, like, I think about that, especially, like, when I'm building, like, the website and, like, different things like that. Because what I see, like, people who are successful, especially on websites versus not, they do a good job of like explaining the features of a product, but they don't explain the benefits of it. And then they don't explain why someone should even care about the benefits. So like, for instance, 50-50 cotton, 50% polyester, who cares? Then also, that's the feature, but that's where most people stop. After that, what's the benefit of it? Well, it's a sleek design that has a comfortable fit that I can dress up and down. That's a benefit. But then on top of that, well, why should I even care? Well, you should care because you can be comfortable, have sleek design, but also represent your school in a way that makes you feel proud when you go out and about. And that's the description that we build out. So I think that that's important too. And like, people people are like thinking about what they're doing or why they're doing it and how they're communicating that to their people.
Yeah. I remember just growing up watching the Cosby Show. I know this is going to age me a little bit, but I remember him just wearing that Temple sweatshirt all the time.
Yeah.
And like almost wanting to go to Temple because I just, and then when they went to Hillman, it was like, yeah. I'm like, oh, wait, this is crazy. Like, smart. What is this? I didn't know any of this. Like, my parents aren't from America. Right. Like, what are these schools?
Even like it's the shot to Chris Latt. He's from
Chris Latt. Yeah. Sure.
And he had the brand with the black colleges back in the 90s. And they were saying like that actually helped enrollment. Because like Martin, Snoop Dogg.
All them.
Queen Latifah.
They had the folks.
Yeah.
The folks at their peak. It was crazy. Yeah,
definitely did.
They really paid it. Like, I don't think we could do what we do without them doing what they did.
Yeah.
And same with, you know, Damon, John, and Fubu. Like, I think that they just made it possible to understand that you can have a black owned business talking about black folk and black people and be successful.
Yeah.
So they, shout out to all of them. Because they helped us.
That's what I think, like, you know, my goal is to, like, I want to take the company to a billion. And I think that, one, we're uniquely positioned because as interracial couples, you know, more by 2030, 2040, most people are going to be people of color. And I'm seeing it already with like Fanatics and other brands. They're starting to sell stuff for HBCUs. Yeah. But I think that where we're uniquely positioned is that we have the culture already and we can expand outwards. And especially since we'll be the vast majority of people on earth, we'll be able to grow the business, you know, in that way. So I think this year is going to be like about big partnerships for us. And then as well as like expanding the brand into other distribution channels and then also going to, you know, just those crazy partnerships, bro. That's
NFTs, we tapping into that. Yeah, we tapping into all of that. And the cool thing about HBCUs is it's always incoming students, it's always graduated students, and it's always alumni.
Right.
Rinse and repeat.
Cycle.
Yeah.
I didn't know
it
yet.
No, that's, he said the biggest collaboration, the biggest partnership.
Oh, yeah.
So support.
Easy.
Support Urban Leisure.
Soon come.
I'm going to give you one when I get one of y'all's.
Let's do it.
I like that.
I like that.
The next ever, and we don't ever do this, but the next episode I'll be wearing that.
Oh, so that's I appreciate that. That means a lot.
It's done.
We're ready this time. That's a fact. Merch swap. So how can the people follow you online, social media, website, all that stuff?
So supportblackcolleges.org is our website. Support Black College, no S, is our Instagram. Yeah. And then my personal Instagram is Corey Arvinger. That's my name.
And mine's Justin P.
Yeah, we're trying to get Corey a 10-day contract.
NBA team, if you're watching, I'm ready to play. Lakers, y'all need a guard. Russell ain't doing nothing.
Troy, housekeeping items?
Yo, shout out to everybody on Patreon.com. And I'm going to tell the names right now because they are tier 5 members. I mean, they're the highest tier. And they have access to EYL University. Shout out to Jaden. Shout out to Nakia. Shout out to Rashad. Welcome to EYL University. There's over 12,000 students and earners there. So welcome to the family. And shout out to everybody that's supporting the merch. Obviously, you know, this is a big merch episode. So shout out to everybody supporting Black Colleges and supporting Assets Over Liabilities and everything that we're putting out. We got a lot of stuff coming for our earners. And keep supporting. Love is love.
Yeah, for sure. And make sure you support Black Colleges. Enroll. Give charity, endowments, all that stuff. They need help. They need help. They need.
Absolutely.
They do.
White colleges get way more funding than black colleges. So it's happening. It's very important. So even if you didn't go to a black college, you can still support a black college.
Yeah.
You don't have to be alumni to actually
support. It's called I support, not I went.
So you probably went to a party there. So.
For sure.
Exactly. All right, guys. Thank you for rocking with us. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Peace.
My graduates from my school being Forbes.
Bag drop.
A mic drop. Bag drop.
Bag drop.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise, and with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, Our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.